Tomorrow is National Train Day, and while in some ways we're on the rails, some ways we're off the rails. The renovation of Seattle's King Street Amtrak station brought back the glory, but we may be headed off the tracks because in October there's going to be a cut to Amtrak lines less than 750 miles long. What's it mean for us? Ron Pate directs the passenger rail division of the Washington State Department of Transportation. He also runs the Amtrak Cascades Rail Line, which goes from Eugene, Oregon to Vancouver, British Columbia, right through Seattle. Hey, Ron, happy early train day.
Hey, thanks for the happy early train day wishes. We're very excited about train day, and I hope everyone gets a chance to go out and ride on trains tomorrow.
Are you going to ride on a train tomorrow, Ron?
I plan to try to see if I can get out and do a train trip. I regularly get on our service for service inventory needs, but I also try to take the train as much as I can. It's a great way to travel, great way to see the Pacific Northwest, and get you out of the traffic on I-5.
Well, I'm really excited to see the renovated King Street Amtrak station. I've been watching the renovation go on over the years, and now it seems to be complete. That's kind of on the bright side. On the bad side, Amtrak's going to be losing some of its federal funding. What's that going to mean for Washington State, Ron?
Yeah, for Washington State, any service that runs less than 750 miles, the state will be responsible for paying for that service. So as part of that process, that federal act that was passed, the states have to work with Amtrak to determine what those costs are. And right now we're in negotiations with Amtrak to determine that our state will pay only its costs that are appropriate to our state service. So right now we have four round trips, for example, between Seattle and Portland. Amtrak actually has two train trips that they're responsible for. We'll be responsible for paying for that service to operate that service, but we also get the revenue. So we'll be tracking that information very closely, and we also will have the opportunity to maybe privatize some of the services on the trains that I'll be interested in talking to any vendors.
What kind of privatizing are you thinking about?
Well, you could, it's possible certain sections of the service, like our food and beverage, could be privatized. We could also look at marketing and revenue tracking services. So we're right now through the negotiation process. We'll be working with Amtrak. But as we go into these new contracts after October, being fiscally responsible as we're supposed to be as a state agency, we're going to look at any opportunity that presents itself that could lower our subsidy rate needed to keep the trains going.
Why would you privatize the food service on the trains? Don't you make money on that?
We do make money, but when you look at all the labor costs and the processes that we go through right now in our Amtrak operating agreements, we actually do not come out ahead on the books. So we're looking at maybe there could be other business models that are used on maybe charter services for cruise lines, or I have talked to some folks that run the Clipper Vacations program that they do business somewhat differently than we do, and we can maybe learn from some of these private businesses to improve the model and provide opportunities to partner better with private industry.
So you don't net out a gain on the food service on Amtrak? Let me make sure
currently,
I understand you correctly.
Yeah, currently we do not net out. It does not net out.
How's ridership?
Ridership's flat right now. It should pick up in the summer. And capacity is one of the areas that we're always looking at in ridership. So in 2017, when we add two more trains, we'll add capacity to our service, which would mean we can grow the service and maybe change schedules and get trains where they need to be, where people want to ride them and get them to their destinations at the appropriate time. So we're always looking at ways to improve ridership on our weekend service. We actually are pretty much running at capacity, so that's a good thing, but we want to figure out how to get those passengers on the train during the week.
How much is the cost of running the Amtrak trains here in the Northwest? How much of that cost is paid for by fares versus how much is subsidized?
Yeah, we're at about a 65% fare box recovery. For a transit model, that's actually very good. And we'd like to see it up more like 70-75%, but everything that doesn't get recovered by the fare box has to be paid by taxpayers. So approximately about $9 million we subsidize each year right now.
Just for comparison, do you know how much bus service, say Metro bus service, how much the fare box pays for that as a percentage of the overall cost?
Yeah, transit, we've looked at transit, and the models run between like 15 to 25 to 30% fare box recovery.
So that's really interesting. It might be a surprise for some to hear that train service actually is much more subsidized by the users than bus services.
So that's opposite there. Our fare box recovery rate means our passengers, the people actually using the trains, are paying for more of the service than
65%
the transit model.
And people who are on buses are, I thought you said 15 to 25%.
Is their fare box recovery rate what passengers actually pay for the service.
Okay. And do you know how much of all the money collected on fares on buses compares as a percentage of costs to what the fares you collect on trains compares to cost?
Yeah, I don't know those exact figures. I know our fares are probably higher than theirs, and it's because of we offer a lot more amenities than you would typically get on a transit model on a bus. We have our bistro cars. You can relax. You can even have a beer if you like on the train. You can have food, and you can wander up and down the train and stretch out. So it's a little bit different model, and that's why people, I think, are more willing to pay for it. Plus, we have great views of Puget Sound and through the Pacific Northwest Corridor.
Ron Pate directs the passenger rail service of the Washington State Department of Transportation, and he runs the Amtrak Cascades rail line, which goes through Seattle, south to Eugene, north to Vancouver. Ron, what are your customers telling you about what they like and what they dislike about your trains?
Yeah, what they like is when we're on time. What we hear consistently from our passengers is there's, you know, a lot of debate about high-speed rail in the United States and can we go 200 miles an hour. And consistently I've been told by our passengers, and like I said, I try to get out and ride the trains as much as I can and talk to people. Consistently we hear, if you get me there on time, I'm happy. 80 miles an hour is great. I don't need to go 200 miles an hour. I need to know when I get on the train, it's going to be there, and when I get off the train, it's going to be there on time. That's the main focus our passengers seem to have of what they want out of our service.
Well, I'm a big fan. I take the train to Portland and Vancouver whenever I get a chance. The ride's comfortable. The view is amazing. But I got to say, I never expect to get there on time. If someone asks me about riding the train, I say, don't expect to get there on time. You're just going to have to build a couple extra hours in. Is that rooted in fact? Are you late most of the time on your trains?
I wouldn't say we're late most of the time. There is some problematic times that we do have, but I would not say we're late most of the time. And as you know, the state received some federal dollars to improve the service and improve the rail line. And so we're investing in the Northwest Corridor. And to improve reliability, our trains will be consistently going 80 miles an hour more often, and maybe in some areas in the future, 90 miles an hour. That'll improve that time of getting to your destination within the limits of the schedule. We definitely are striving to eliminate the complaints where we get, I was 2 hours late. Unfortunately, there are some times where equipment does break down, and you have weather incidents that happen that trees fall across the track that we have to clear. But I would not say for the most part we're late. I'd say for the most part, if you look at our on-time performance percentage right now, this last month we're actually at 81%.
So 81% of the time you get there when you say you're going to get there, or maybe even a little earlier.
Yeah, a little earlier or on time. And it's usually there's a 10-minute tolerance at stations because you never get to a point exactly at this certain second.
Well, you alluded to these problems north of Seattle on the train tracks. They've been frequently interrupted by mudslides. Is that costing you money? Are people just not taking the train because they heard these multiple reports of the trains being canceled?
Yeah, I don't think we see a little bit of a hit on what we would call our ridership, but actually we are making some great strides with the communities to the north, with BNSF, Sound Transit, and Amtrak. We've organized a work group that are working together to produce some proactive solutions. So while we're doing some investment in the corridor to the north with the federal funds, BNSF is taking a very aggressive maintenance approach on how they handle that section of the track. They're investing a lot in that. Sound Transit is working with us to look at solutions to stabilize the slopes better through new survey techniques and working with those communities to do what I would say is proactive reactions to the mudslides, meaning we're not going to just wait for them to happen. We're actually working with the communities on top of the slide areas to see what can be done better on top, meaning could we redirect stormwater? Is there other solutions we can put in place that prevents trees from falling down and causing mudslides? So we've had some meetings with elected officials in those communities, and we'll continue to do that throughout the summer and hopefully start implementing some of those solutions on top of the hill so you can prevent the mudslide from occurring in the first place.
Well, another reason for interruptions on the Amtrak service, and I've heard your conductors say this on the loudspeaker system, is that the freight trains get priority. The BSNF trains get priority, and sometimes Amtrak trains are sidelined. Passengers have to wait for the freight trains to go by. How big a factor is that in delays?
So I would like to talk to the conductors if they're being told that, that the freight trains get priority, because that's really not supposed to the way it's supposed to work, and that's not the way the service set, is set up that the state pays for. The priority should be passenger trains. Dispatchers dispatch the service out of Fort Worth, Texas, for the BNSF section of the track. There are sometimes freight trains do break down. We might get delayed because of that, but it's not a problem that I think cannot be overcome. Some of the capacity improvements we're building into the rail line will give us the ability to move around some of those incidents in the future, but we, in the 2017, we'll have contracts with BNSF and Amtrak in place to guarantee us the 88% on-time performance and reliability.
Hey, Ron, bonus question today. Mother's Day is coming up on Sunday. We're asking people for the best or worst advice they got from their mom. Aaron on Twitter said, worst advice, drop out of high school. It's not the best environment for you. Or she had another nomination. You're 13. Here's how to use a bong. Lisa wrote, best advice from her mom, always wear clean underwear. Would you share with us maybe the best or worst advice you ever got from your mom?
Well, I'll stick with the best advice because I try to be as positive as I always can. And my mother always told me that challenges will provide you with the greatest opportunity in life. So if you don't have a challenge, you can't strive for those opportunities.
Hey, Ron, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Ron Pate, Director of Passenger Rail Division at the Washington State Department of Transportation, and he runs the Amtrak rail lines here in the Northwest. Well, of course, along with Amtrak, we've got commuter rail here in Western Washington. Sound Transit runs the Seattle Sounder from Lakewood to Seattle and Everett. Conversation producer Cameron Drews spoke with Sound Transit spokeswoman Kimberly Reason about what's new with the Sounder train.
Aside from the mudslide issues, which do happen a few months out of the year, prior to that, you know, Sounder North ridership was growing in double-digit numbers month by month. And even in February this year, we saw a 21% increase in ridership. Soon we'll be embarking on a permanent Sounder station in the Tukwila area. Those riders have really been very patient with us. We've had a temporary station there or platform, and now we'll have a full-on station. And then we're looking at a 41% increase in service for Sounder over the next several years as we bring new easements on board to serve the South Corridor. We'll have a new easement starting this fall, as an example, and three more in the next few years.
Sound Transit's Kimberly Reason. Now let's pull back the camera for a big overview of this. And to do that, we're joined by John Talton, economics columnist for the Seattle Times. You hear him on KUOW's Weekday. He writes about the business of trains in the local, national, and global levels at the Times, and also on his blog called Rogue Columnist. Hey, John, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Ross. I'm glad to be here.
So how does passenger service in Seattle compare to other U.S. cities?
Well, to most other U.S. cities, we're doing very well. We have some long-distance train service to the south and to L.A. and all the way down to San Diego if you want. And then we have passenger service all the way to Chicago. I've taken the Empire Builder. It's a wonderful train. And then we have the Cascades, which are one of the big success stories in corridor trains in America. And then we have the Sounder service, which is great going south and has great potential going north if we can get these mudslides addressed.
And yet Amtrak's getting cut. They're going to have to cut back on some of their services nationwide over the course of this year. Why are we cutting back on it if it's providing good service?
Well, we're cutting back on it because, number one, the Republicans who control the House have this fetish against rail service. And there's just no other nice way to put it. And the reality is that there is no transportation in the world that is not subsidized. freeways are subsidized. They're not free. Drivers do not pay for the cost of roads. Airlines are heavily subsidized with airports and air traffic control and slots and all of these things. And every industrialized nation that has quality passenger train service subsidizes its trains, too.
Finally, best advice you ever got from your mom, or worst?
Well, I don't know which one it was, but she suggested I become a writer and even a columnist.
Hey, thanks a lot. John Talton, the Seattle Times columnist. Also, you hear him on KUOW. Thanks to Sound Transit's Kimberly Reason and Ron Pate, Director of Passenger Rail for Washington State Department of Transportation. Happy Train Day tomorrow. Whether you're on the rails or wishing you were, I'm Ross Reynolds.